translation with a very long purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Prabhupada. Within this universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His super soul feature, is present everywhere. Wherever there are animate or inanimate beings, therefore, one should accept only that which is allotted to him. One should not desire to infringe upon the property of others. Purport. Having described the situation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a transcendental, Svayambhuva Manu, for the instruction of the sons and grandsons in his dynasty, is now describing all the property of the universe as belonging to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manu's instructions are not only for his own sons and grandsons, but all of human society. The word man, or in Sanskrit manusya, has been derived from the name Manu. For all the members of human society are descendants of the original Manu. Manu is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 4.1, where the Lord says, Imam Vishvasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vivashvan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvakare Bravit. I instructed these imperishable signs of yoga to the sun god Vivashvan, and Vivashvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. Svayambhuva Manu and Vaivashvata Manu have a similar duties. Vaivashvata Manu was born of the sun god Vivashvan, and his son was Ikshvaku, the king of the earth. Since Manu is understood to be the original father of humanity, human society should follow his instructions. Svayambhuva Manu instructs that whatever exists, not only in the spiritual world, but even within this material world, is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as the superconsciousness. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 13.3, Kshetrajnam chapimam vidhi sarva kshetresu bharata. In every field, in other words, in every body, the Supreme Lord is existing as the super soul. The individual soul is a given body in which to live and act according to the instructions of the Supreme Person, and therefore the Supreme Person also exists within everybody. We should not think that we are independent, rather we should understand that we are allotted a certain portion of the total property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll pause a little bit on these paragraphs and try to meditate a little bit on what I have understood so far, and then we'll carry on the purport. It's very interesting that the translation, it says, within this universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his super soul feature, is present everywhere. Now, the first thing is to understand that the super soul is everywhere. And then the second part of the translation, therefore, one should accept only that which is allotted to him. One should not desire to infringe upon the property of others. And I was thinking to myself, what is God to do, the super soul, being in everybody's heart, and the properties, Gazam being somebody else's property, It's a forbidden. Well, I was thinking that, like Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that the super soul being situated in everybody's heart, it has a great meaning because we understand that the body, the consciousness, and the external possessions that we have are all belongings of the super soul. Being situated in everybody's heart means he's the maintainer. But without the super soul, we cannot be sustained. So therefore, if we trace up the maintainer or the source of all our properties, we can see that the catalyst principle is the super soul. As Prabhupada mentioned in the beginning of the purport, the maintainer, Vishvam, the maintainer of everybody, the maintainer of the universes. And therefore, what is that verse of the Bhagavad Gita? Bhaktaram yagyatapasa sarvaloka maheshvara. That once we understand that the enjoyer of everything existing in this world and outside of this world, beyond the parayoma, which is the spiritual world, is all possession of the Lord. And therefore, all the material and spiritual universes, they belong to Him. Sarvaloka Maheshvara. Bhaktaram Yagyatapasa. And also, not only that, even though we don't have anything, whatever austerity we do, a yagya we do, it's for His pleasure. And also, whatever austerity we perform, it's also for His pleasure. So really, even when we practice renunciation, it's the culmination should be to please the Lord, and that's where the happiness lies. So if we recognize this small principle, that everything belongs to Him, nothing to us, the only thing belongs to us is the shelter of the Lord, the lotus feet of Krishna, and His mercy. So if we understand this, then we achieve a peace of mind. That's what the Bhagavad, the second paragraph of the verse, Bhaktaram Yagyatapasa, it says that we achieve a peace of mind, and then with the peace of mind, we achieve happiness. Because happiness cannot come without being first peaceful. So therefore, super soul, very much into the equation, it's very much in connotation with this, the properties. So I'll go on with the purport. Svayambhuva Manu instructs that whatever exists, not only in the spiritual world, but even within this material world, is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as the super consciousness. This we already read, isn't it? As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, yes, we did already. Okay. This understanding will lead to perfection, to perfect communism. Communists think in terms of their own nations, but the spiritual communism instructed here, it's not only nationwide, but universal. Nothing belongs to any nation or any individual person. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One also has to be very, very careful to not see such a statement as an exaggeration, that from communism we go to the extreme, the other understanding of being dictatorship. Krishna is not a dictator. That, you know, sometimes we get bothered, oh, everything belongs to Him and nothing to that person. It is the truth that everything belongs to Krishna, and therefore one should peacefully accept this truth without criticizing the possessions of the Lord, without criticizing his position. Of course, Krishna is not, as we said, dictator, is not a Taliban that takes away all the rights from the living entities. He let us enjoy everything he has, as long as we just understand. More we understand that everything belongs to him, and more we are entitled to his possession, more he gives to us. This is the secret for Krishna discharging, entrusting us with his possessions. Just like the father, he trusts very much the son that he's running my business very well. So therefore, let me give you the power of attorney. Let me give him the full power of running the business. He can enjoy the fruit. He can do anything he wants. He can employ people. He can make money, enjoy the money. But on the back of the mind of the son should always be this understanding that my father is the owner of my business. Of course, the father, he will not take away the privilege of being, for the son, of being the boss, of being in charge of the business, of enjoying the all the results of the business, as long the father doesn't feel rejected. You know, the famous philosophy, trying to enjoy the kingdom of Ram but without Ram. Prabhupada very often mentioned that we do forget that everything belongs to Krishna, and then we enjoy it, and then we take out Krishna out of the equation. We try to enjoy separately from him. But he doesn't say you cannot enjoy. You can enjoy. But at the same time, in his consciousness, not separate from him. Under his sanction. So that's the statement of Srila Prabhupada. Then once we understand this, we can see each other as common people. We are all serving the same cause. That's the real meaning of communism. We are all in common serving the same source, which is Krishna. Whatever exists within this universe is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The modern communistic theory and also the idea of the United Nations can be reformed, indeed rectified, by the understanding that everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is not a creation of our intelligence, rather he has created us. Atmavasyam idam vishvam, isavasyam idam sarvam. This universal communism can solve all the problems of the world. One should learn from the Vedic literature that one's body is also not the property of the individual soul, but is given to the individual soul according to his karma. Karmana daivine trena jantur deho papattaye. The 8,400,000 different bodily forms are machines given to the individual soul. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:61. Anybody will recall the verse? 1861. You are not you? I know Indriyesh. Indriyesh knows all the verse, Bhagavad Gita. Maybe somebody else. You know, the thing about the machine? Remember? Prabhupada says the body is like a machine. That's the one, yeah? Come on. Thank you. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as a machine made of the material energy. The The Lord, as the super soul, sits in everyone's heart and observes the various desires of the individual soul. The Lord is also merciful that he gives the living entity the opportunity to enjoy varieties of desire in suitable bodies, which are nothing but machines. Yanta Durani Mayaya. These machines are manufactured by the material ingredients of the external energy, and thus the living entity enjoys or suffers according to his desire. The opportunity is given by the Supersoul. Everything belongs to the Supreme, and therefore one should not usurp another's property. We have a tendency to manufacture many things, especially nowadays we are building skyscrapers and developing other material facilities. We should know, however, that the ingredients of the skyscrapers and machines cannot be manufactured by anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The old world is nothing but a combination of the five material elements, Tejo Varim Ridam Yata Vini Mai. A skyscraper is a transformation of earth, water, and fire. Earth and water are combined and burned into bricks by fire, and a skyscraper is essentially a tall construction of bricks. Although the bricks may be manufactured by man, the ingredients of the bricks are not. Of course, man, as a manufacturer, may accept a salary from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is stated here, Tena Tyaktena Bunjita. One may construct a big skyscraper, but neither the constructor, the merchant, or the worker can claim a proprietorship. Proprietorship belongs to the person who has spent for the building. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has manufactured water, earth, air, fire, and the sky. And one can use this and takes a salary, tenatyakchena bunjita. However, one cannot claim proprietorship. It's so wonderful the way Srila Prabhupada describes elements by element that everything is created by Krishna. So therefore, just by using these things doesn't mean that we are the owner. just like the conception of human beings is that whatever they see, they will covet, they will want it due to lust. I must have it. Prabhupada also mentioned once in the early Bhagavatam that just like the English, they went to Australia. Australia was there as a land with the aborigines in it. Everything was there, but they went there, they saw Australia, and they said, you know, this is mine. But actually Australia was already there. Then they died, and Australia is still there. So you can see that the false conception, I and mine, it's born from the illusory conception of life. I am this body. And everything that I like, it's mine. So, but then when I die, then all these things, they don't come with me. Do they? Isn't it? We don't, not even the body goes with us in our next life. The only thing we take with us is the super soul, which we are eternally bonded, and our desires, either to carry on living in this material world or to choose to live with Krishna in the spiritual world. We have nothing else. We're born naked and we're dying naked. So this tendency, so an honest man, he thinks, I have received this mercy from the Lord, so I will use honestly. This is the the thinking of an honest person is always in a receiving mood, not in a taking mood. There is a difference when we receive some glorification or some service due to your qualification. Krishna is the, being the super soul in the heart is the ability in man or in woman. So other people, they see, like in our society, they see your qualification and they, either the superior, the guru or the authority, they will give you a particular service. And we have to be in the mood of receiving. We accept the service, but we don't take it. We don't go, as soon as we join, we don't go to the temple president and say, you know, I want to become a GBC. I want to be a vice president, or I want to be this, or I want to be... It's all recognized by qualities, this thing. Krishna will sanction, will fulfill the desires on what you like to do if we are in the mood of receiving, not in taking. In this way we perform our service. Just like we say, you know, we receive some remuneration for our job, for our work, which is nothing wrong with it. Many of the devotees, they are employed, and they receive, but we don't say, I'm taking salary. Taking is when it's an imperative statement that you, it's actually decided by you, and you go to the boss, and I want that much. It doesn't work like that. So the mood should always be that we are with the hands open and receive whatever comes to us. But as soon as we covet on the somebody else's property, actually not even somebody else's property, somebody else's things, you know, that he's looking after on behalf of Krishna. Even materialistic people, somehow or another, they've been given those facility by guna and karma or by Krishna's mercy. We don't know. We have no legislation. We can't legislate how people, they end up with possessions. But somehow or another, they're looking after those things on behalf of Krishna, on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that if we try to usurp the possessions of another person, the offense actually goes to Krishna, not to that person, mainly. Because just like we said before, the father gives the business to the child, to the son. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. But if another person tried to take away the business from the son, it made the son feel cheated. But the father, who is there supervising the whole enterprise, he feels angry because, wait a minute, this belongs to me. That's my property. And the father is the one who comes, steps in and try to reclaim back the property from the aggressor. So we may get away from the law of the government if we take somebody else's property. We may get away temporarily from the judge. We get away with it, but Mr. Karma is there, who works also on behalf of Krishna, that sees everything, and we have to pay back. It is one of the greatest offenses, and also if you read in the Ten Commandments, was it Anybody, does all of you know about the Ten Commandments? Hands up if you, anybody knows the number 9. Thou shalt not? Very good. One, thou shalt not covet on somebody else's property. And number 10, on somebody else's wife. So it is actually a sacrilege, even in any religions, to covet on somebody else's property or somebody else's wife. It's very contaminating. And then we are condemned of being thieves. Just by thinking, just mentally, if we remove somebody's wife or somebody's property from the person, from the owner, and we think, just imagine, we try to imagine what would be so nice to enjoy that object. It's already a sin to covet. You know, the covet means to lust. To lust on somebody. So the action hasn't even been performed. The action means a stealing. Because, you know, we know that first comes thinking, feeling, and willing. So some people, you know, like the thieves, first they make the plans how to rob a bank. They think about it first. And then they feel, you know, okay, so we are ready, let's do it. And then wanting, they go in action, they have to have it. So when the action is performed, it's called thievery, in the according to the law of the land. But thinking is not much of a crime. But in terms of religion, even a thinking, lusting on somebody else's property, being pressed by or pushed by envy, because it's the envy that makes us desiring somebody else's possession, whether it is a beauty or whether it is a wealth or power or whether it is anything of the 5, 6 opulences that ultimately they belong to Krishna. Just by coveting, just by thinking, it's already a sin. Punishable by the law of nature. So therefore, an honest person, just like I think this morning, they asked me to make an announcement about the lost 5 pounds that has been found in the courtyard or in the car park, whatever. It's very much an example, you know, that an honest person, it will say, you know, that this is not my property. Has anybody lost 5 pounds? Of course, if it was more money, I don't know if he, you know, the shouting would have been there, you know, this is, who's lost this money? But in any case, the principle, the idea of recognizing that this is not my property, that is to be honest. It's very much appreciated by the super soul. And like Bhaktivinoda Thakur very nicely describes that the properties of others, they're to be treated like stool. Now, we take it literally. You know, we read it and it's like a metaphoric analogy with no meaning. But actually, it has a meaning. It is the truth. As soon as you take the property of somebody else, you get contaminated by the karma invested in that money. The karma, the blood, the sweat of that person. Somebody has worked for it. So it is dishonest to take it. For somebody who hasn't performed the yajna, to deserve such a thing. So therefore, just like a stool has a very bad bad fragrance, and therefore, as soon as we steal somebody else's property. The word contamination, what does that mean? That we become dirty. Just like I was trying to get a little bit more deep into this. Actually, the same Manu that we are talking about, later on, you know, in the Manu Samhita, it is described that for someone who steals, then in his next life, he carries that fragrance with him. Fragrance of contamination. Already in this life, the bodily transformation takes place. People, they assume a face of a thief. You may get away from the law. You may think, oh, nobody's looking at me. I found, you know, these 5 pounds. Why? Or I'm stealing something from such and such. There is no God. Or even if there is God, everybody, you know, is stealing. And so you don't take it seriously. But there are 33 million demigods watching us. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart is watching you. And therefore, the contamination, when it takes place, the body starts to become transformed and becomes contaminated by the thievery image. Just like when you look at someone in the street, oh, that person has got the face of a thief. Or it's got a face of a dishonest person, right? Of course, we don't judge, you know, just by the look. But there are examples, you know, even when you see in Crime Watch, people, all those who have done something, there's something about their face, isn't it? Well, I'm talking, maybe it's just my impression. But that's the, you know, I can see that criminals, the pedophiles, criminals, thieves, they don't have a clear face. They don't have an honest face. So already, the stool has contaminated them. And the next life, Manu, the same Manu, says that those type of people, they're born, you know, with either deformed hands. When you see someone who's got very ugly hands or no hands at all, it means that that particular organ has been punished for being misused in previous lives. The law of karma is so perfect. You find a blind person has been misusing the eyes in previous lives. He's been looking things that he shouldn't have watched. And hearing, you lose the power of hearing. It means, you know, you're maybe too much criticism you've been hearing, or too much Grihamedikata, or too much Prajalpa. And people, they'll lose the power of hearing. The power of speech, they say, Manu himself says, you know, someone who blasphemy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or blasphemy saintly people, or criticize with his own mouth other people, then the power of speech is withdrawn. People, they have also problem in eating. They can't taste food. We know Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. Mukha is the biggest hole in the body. Mukya, the mouth. And has two functions, Rasanji and Vipina, the power of speech and the power of tasting. I was reading sometime back in the paper that there is a wealthy man in Australia that he can't even taste his food. Now, what all the money in the world would do for you if you can't even taste the food? The power of taste was taken away. Because when he was young, somebody broke his nose, and then, you know, you can't smell things and you can't taste things. The palate, you know, will not be any more functional. So this is all karma. Things are withdrawn from us. There are 33 million demigods. Each one of them control a particular sense in your body. They see that you've been misusing that sense. they would draw the power. So that's why properties of others is considered to be stool. Because we have to think about the karma, the implication we are getting into. You know, is it worth it? I will have a face of a thief for the rest of my life. I will take birth in my next life, you know, with a punishment. For what? For something, you know, that it doesn't belong to me. And who is the culprit of all this? Krishna says, lust, only lust, that push the living entity to do what we don't want to do. Isn't that the all-devouring enemy? Lust. So I'll carry on with the purport for a couple more minutes and then it's finished. Since all properties belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything should be offered to the Lord, and we should take only prasad, tenaktyaktena bunjita. We should not fight amongst ourselves to take more than we need. As Narada said to Maharaj Yudhisthira, one may claim a proprietorship to as much wealth as required to maintain body and soul together, but one who desires proprietorship over more, then that must be considered a thief. And it deserves to be punished by the law of nature. Bhagavad Gita 7:14-8. Of course, we need to be maintained in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Ahara nidra baya mahitu na. But since the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has provided these necessities of life for the birds and bees, why not for mankind? Therefore, one should understand that everything belongs to Krishna, and with this idea, one may take prasad. As we said before, the only thing that we can claim proprietorship is the mercy of the Lord. It's the only thing you can steal as much as you want. The mercy is something, it's all goodness for us. And it's of a good fortune. It's a prasad. However, if you want interest with the allotments of others, if you want interferes with the allotments of others, he is a thief. We shall not accept more than what we actually need. Right? There is a very old say that in the world was Gandhi, there is enough for everybody's needs. But there is not enough for everybody's greeds, isn't it? That's the analogy. That, therefore, if we by chance we get an abundance of money, we should always consider that it belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Krishna consciousness, we are getting sufficient money. Now, Prabhupada is talking about us here now. But we should never think that the money belongs to us. It belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and should be equally distributed to workers, devotees. No devotees should claim that any money or propriety belongs to him. Very often I've been myself a big collector, and the ahankara vimudatma, for many years I was living in this conception that I'm bringing in so much money. For this movement, wow, I'm giving so much. That's my money. But actually, that has been my wrong conception for many, many years. As I said before, it takes long time to realize just one thing very simple, but sometimes we find white hair on our head and we haven't understood it yet, that Krishna is the ability in man. So whatever ability we have to make money, to preach, to accrue people, like, you know, we have, for example, the Indriyesh Prabhu, he brings a lot of schools here. A lot of money comes in. Does he think that all this belongs to me? I am the doer. I am the one. No. Krishna has given him the ability. He trusts him in that service, in that work. And the proof that he's doing a good job, that Krishna allows him to continue. Because as soon as we think that this is my money, then immediately you will have a face of a thief. Wherever people, even the managers in ISKCON, since Prabhupada is talking about devotees, I'm not trying to be controversial, but it's been many instances that as soon as devotees, they covet or take, misuse, embezzles Krishna's money, they're immediately removed from their positions. By who? By the will of the providence. So it is very important for the managers, for the leaders, for any devotees who is involved in fundraising, who is involved in collecting money on behalf, in the name of the Lord, from other people, because people, they give it for Krishna. They give it for the temple, for the devotees, to maintain the devotees, as Prabhupada says here, to maintain temples, to maintain the institution, the preaching, and therefore they don't come here and give a check, you know, this is for the head of your department, this is for you, for you. We become patrons because we want the comfort of your Grihastha ashram to be a bit more lucrative. They don't do that. They give it in the name of Bhagavan. And we receive it. We receive this money in the name of Krishna as the postman or the banker. The banker, he receives money from the customer, but it doesn't belong to him. So therefore, even myself, as a trustee of this society, it's illegally immoral. I'm one of the director of the society. And one of the chief thing, one of the very first principle to understand for any trustee of a society, or a company which is actually operating on a charitable base, is to understand that any funds coming in, it doesn't belong to us, not even to the trustee. We may direct how to spend the money for the welfare of the society, for preaching. And we have the 10 purpose, right? I'm sure all the devotees, they should know about the 10 purpose of ISKCON. And anything that comes to us should be used for those purpose. Now, Indriya, she went to Italy, holiday. Now he's got nothing to do with his service, but he went with a very, very small car. Very small amount of money. He takes very little from his service. And he could have gone, you know, by flying, you know, by renting a nice car or staying in the hotels, but he stayed with devotees. He could have eaten in restaurants, but he ate with devotees. See, a devotee should be like that. He should always think, you know, that every single penny that comes through my hands, even if it's my own wage, which is given to me by Krishna, I should make sure that I spend it in a honest way and proper way, and nothing is misused. So every leader should think in this way, that Krishna is the proprietor and not me. So we just read the last part of the paragraph and then we close the class. No devotee should claim that any money or propriety belongs to him. If one thinks that any portion of property of this huge universe belongs to anyone, he is to be considered a thief and is punishable by the laws of nature. No one can surpass the vigilance of material nature or hide his intentions from material nature. If a human society unlawfully claims that the property of the universe, either partially or wholly, belongs to mankind, all of human society will be cursed as a society of thieves and will be punished by the laws of nature. sometimes, you know, there is not just individual conception, but also collective conception. You find countries, you know, they have this concept, you know, this is our land, this is our resource, our money. But nothing about God. They have no concept that God is the owner. And that's why Prabhupada says they're punished by the law of karma, collective karma. It comes sometimes in the form of earthquake, tsunami. It comes in the form of fire, blazing fire, killing many, many people. Or collective catastrophe, disaster of nature, or whatever. These are all punishment from the law of nature. Demigods punishing us. Punishing not just one individual, but many, many people put together. So we have to be God-fearing people. If we want to advance in Krishna consciousness, no matter how intelligent we are, how secure we feel, how secretive, you know, we think we are, we should always live with this understanding that Krishna is watching me, the demigods are watching me, I'm just their servant, and nothing should be misused. If we have that mentality, then we will have abundance coming to us, and we can enjoy in the same way Krishna enjoys. And we can advance in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any questions?